Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, January 10th, 2022. This morning, I will talk about interpreting images. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we praise you for your consistency in heart and mind. Your immutable character is eternal and unchanging with the seasons. Your judgments enforce justice and your mercy supports life itself. Help us to model our behavior after yours. We confess that we are like reeds blowing in the wind, sinning when it suits us and when we find advantage. Forgive our sin and teach us to live without it. Thank you for the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who redeems us from bondage to sin and gives life meaning. Help us to accept this love and to learn from it. In the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to model ourselves after you, to pattern life on earth after that in heaven, and to show mercy, grace, patience, love, and faithfulness to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. The tension between visual image and the need for the spoken word arises because images require interpretation. The Bible itself can be described as an interpretation of the image of God that we are seeing in Genesis. Interpretation implies multiple explanations exist of any given image. Some interpretations fit the image better than others. Because language itself changes over time, each generation must find its own best explanation of God's image. This interpretive problem arises immediately in Genesis 1 when we find, after creation, God was involved in two interpretive activities, separation and naming. We read a series of these separations and naming conventions as in, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was an evening, and there was a morning, the first day." This is Genesis 1, verses 3 to 5. God created life, declares it to be good, and names it day. He then follows suit to distinguish day from night. Likewise, God distinguishes evening and morning, heaven and earth, and in dry land and water. Different aspects of light are repeatedly discussed. Days, light, greater lights, lesser lights. These separations highlight the interpretive problem. How does one describe a world forever in shades of twilight? Imagine a child trying to distinguish times and seasons without these distinctions. I am reminded of the Iraqi war veteran in the film The Hurt Locker. After facing death and destruction every day in the war, as he disarmed improvised explosive devices, on returning home his wife sends him to the grocery store for cereal. Walking down a long aisle of cereal brands in the store, he is unable to decide what to buy. Overwhelmed with choices, he grabs the nearest box and leaves. This problem of choice highlights the moral dilemma of insisting that every action we undertake be parsed from every possible social perspective. The seriousness of this interpretation problem is underscored in Genesis when Satan asks Eve, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" This is Genesis 3:1. Here, even God's words are being twisted. How much more can a visual image, such as the image of God, be twisted by those unable to make appropriate distinctions and are generally unprepared for the testing? Beauty is almost indistinguishable in biblical use from the modern concept of authenticity. In both concepts, structure and character complement one another. The surface appearance reflects a harmony within. The beauty we observe in nature reflects the fingerprints of our divine Creator. Dryness writes, "The biblical language for beauty reveals that beauty is connected both to God's presence and activity and to the order that God has given to creation." The call for authenticity begins in the third verse of the Bible. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." This is Genesis 1:3. Unlike our proclivity to sin as revealed in our flaws, God's word, "let there be light," and his actions, "and there was light," are in perfect harmony. This contrast between heaven and earth could not be greater. Unlike heaven, which Revelation reminds us needs no light other than God, earth requires illumination that God immediately creates. God's pre-existence relative to creation is underscored in the name that he gives Moses in the burning bush. It can be translated as, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, or in vernacular English, I'm the real deal, which implies authentic being, something original that cannot be fully copied. In contrast, human beings are created in the image of God, possess only the potential for authentic being, because sin gets in the way. Jesus talked a lot about authenticity and about its inverse, hypocrisy. Perhaps his most famous statement about hypocrisy began with an admonition, "Judge not that you may not be judged." Frequently we judge people by our own estimate of the degree of their hypocrisy. In a book with an ironic theme of authenticity, Howard Thurman observed about the woman caught in adultery. Jesus met the woman where she was and treated her as if she was already where she now willed to be. In dealing with her, he believed her into the fulfillment of her possibilities. For Jesus, the tension between our desires and actions measures not only our authenticity, but also our proclivity to sin. Anger leads to murder, lust leads to adultery. The Bible describes human beings as created in the image of God, but with sin, this image is quickly tarnished and other images quickly morph into idols and detestable things. Superficiality literally means a focus on the surface appearance. It breaks the biblical link between heart and mind. Think of pornography as converting human physiology from an image of God into an object of our own desires. The conversion may be prompted by particular poses or behavior, but the conversion itself takes place not in the physical form, but in the eyes of the beholder. Pornography perverts the mind more than the body. The idea of luck, likewise, focuses on outward appearances. Here God's blessing is seen merely as a fortunate accident, whose origin is neglected. Superstition, likewise, denies the stewardship and sovereignty of the Holy Spirit over the created realm, and, in many cases, abandons God in favor of evil spirits or worse. Being created in the image of a living God begs the question of life itself. Life is the ultimate union of heart and mind. The body and the spirit cannot be separated. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ testifies to the unity of heart and mind in Christian thought. The human spirit, although undefinable, is obvious by its absence. A beautiful living human body, emptied of its spirit, is no more than a repulsive corpse. A body without its spirit is a zombie. A spirit without a body is a ghost. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.